Good morning, everyone. Wow, this thing's right. How are you? It's a beautiful day out. It's warmer tonight. Wind's blowing a little bit. It's gray, but that's all right. We don't care. Well, we're going to sing here shortly. How about page 18? And let's stand, please. Page 18. Church doors are open today, Lord, so we can come here just to worship you, Lord. Thanks for Pastor Kim being able to get away, Lord. Just be with him, Lord. Guide and direct him. Keep him safe, Lord, and get him back here with us here soon. Thank you for the opportunity here today. Thank you for our nation, Lord, we live in. We know it's many problems, Lord. We pray for our nation that we might right ourselves just a little bit. Get us back in the way that we should be. Today, Lord, Lynn's going to speak today. I just pray you just guide him, direct him, use him today, Lord, for what you have for us. Lord, I pray if someone needs you in any way, shape, or form, that person might get right today, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. You are always there. This is just a small token, Lord, to shove back to you, Lord, in appreciation for what you do for us all. Guide and direct here today, Lord. Just pray for a great day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Page 11, please. Page 11.
And sweetly dis-
tonight's evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. Deacon meeting we have on the 17th. Senior trip to Kelowna on the 17th. Pastor Kim is going to have the details on that. The 20th, we have a vacation Bible school plan and meeting for a worker sign up there. We got personal evangelism scheduled for the 22nd. The 25th and 26th is the Iowa Regular Baptist Camp Counselor Training in Ventura, Iowa. Fellowship's the end of April, and Kim and Sharon's in charge of that. There's going to be a remembrance gathering here down at Island Cemetery for Russell Ship on the 26th at 10 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Soft of the Week, rejecting Jesus' offer freely given is a mistake most costly. Guys, you'll come forward and take up the morning offering. Yes?
I just had just one quick announcement. Can you put up that sign, gentlemen, for the camp sponsorship? There we go. Just a reminder, the camp sponsorship jar is still on the back table. If you're interested in helping kids afford their fee for camp, you can put money in that jar or put it in an envelope labeled camp in the offering plates at any time. And those kids would be grateful for your help so they can go to Bible camp and grow in their faith in Christ. And next Sunday for Resurrection Day, the children have been preparing a song to present to the Lord and for all you to hear next Sunday. So we hope to see you there and come and worship the Lord together.
That must be it. Okay. A brief meeting after service this morning to discuss the bank situation. So let's pray. Go ahead. Here we go. Father, thank you again for this time, Lord, that we can come to your house. Thank you, Lord, for all that are here today. Thank you for the announcement session we went through, Lord. Hope we got everything covered. Be with us now, Lord, as we take up this offering. Just ask you to be with the gift and the gears we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing a song that you haven't heard for a while. This is the season of the year where we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday today, and Easter is next Sunday, so I'm going to sing this morning, Behold the Man. Crucified, that in love he bore sorrow and pain, and in love he willingly suffered. Behold the man, suffering in silence, bearing our shame. We hid our faces from him. We hid our faces from him. We did not know that this was God the Father's plan, born of love to bring redemption down to man, that in love he gave his only Son, so that we might be forgiven. Behold the man, risen in glory, exalted, crowned with glory and honor. Behold the man, King of kings and Lord of lords, through all creation, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Doug. The Lord is the Lord of all. I know some of you are probably still expecting John to be here this Sunday, but he had some obligations that he needed to do. He needed time to get away. But this morning when I woke up and I heard the birds singing, I didn't used to like that sound at all. But the older I've got, the more I enjoy it, because I can hear them singing to God, saying, "Praise God for this earth. This is the day the Lord has made." And I enjoy every minute of it. And I thank the time to be able to speak. I know I'm not the best speaker in the world, but I'll do my best to present God's word. And also, yesterday, Doug and I and Marlon went up to the museum up there at Walcott. And that was quite, I've never been in the history of everything that was going on. But I have to apologize to Doug and Marlon, because we got sidetracked. My boy, when we raced Friday night, we got tore up pretty bad on the oldest boy's car. And he told me, he said he was done that night. We weren't going to race Saturday night. I should have known better, because he changes his mind quite frequently. Well, I got a call from him saying, "The car's put together. We're going to go race it." Well, I was at Walcott at that time. And I said, "Well, we'll do the best I can." Well, apparently the Lord put me in a situation, because the racetrack is not very far from Walcott. And I know Doug and Marlon wanted to eat at Grandma's kitchen there and missed on that. And I apologize for that. But we are able to, I had to go to the track, take the trailer, and reserve a spot for the other boy to be there. So it worked out, but I apologize again for the situation. But my boy, he's a lot like me, and I have many kids that are a lot like me in aspect. He never slept all night. He kept constantly, "What can I do to better the car? What can I do to make things better and get better?" Well, he got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he went out to that car, and he started working. So he got it together, and we were able to make it to the racetrack, and everything went really, really well. But this is an example that I want to talk about today. We're going to be in the book of James. We're going to talk about, like I say, don't give up. Faith in God. Don't quit. And that's what many of us do is we end up quitting. We don't want to keep on going. We don't put our faith in God. And that's why I enjoy this book of James and talked about. Like I say, most every one of my children, they care. They don't want to give up. They keep fighting ahead. No matter what the circumstance, they care for people. They want to be able to do everything they can. Like with my daughter, Alicia. I listen to her. She's got a job that she enjoys very, very well. And I enjoy when she comes and talks. She talks about her people, but her people love her because she loves them. And it's amazing that many people want to be in her area of the place. Why? Because they see that she treats them with respect. She says, I'll do everything I can for you, but you do everything you can for me. Because don't cross me, because I will show you the way that's not a good way if you don't do what I say. And they do. They follow that. And I enjoy that very, very much, listening to that. And like I say, in the book of James, I can't even scratch the surface of what it has to say. But we're going to be talking about faith, action, and I hope we can actually get in the works. We can actually get in about the tongue. Because I think that is so critical to many of our lives, how we use our tongue, how we present that. But today, like I say, we're going to be studying in the book of James. This letter was written by James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. In the book of James, there are only 5 chapters. And you can read them in a relatively short time. But if you take the time to read it, not just go over it, you won't even get out of the first chapter. I mean, like I say, I spent till 2 o'clock in the morning this morning. Because when I got home at 10 o'clock, I had been working on this message all week. But it seemed like there was always something that was interfering that I couldn't get this message done. But I knew I had to do it last night. And I tell you, I would read James, I would go through it, and Lord said, here's what I want you to say. So I hope I can present this properly. And because I even got the messages, Satan says, you know what? I had all the papers made out, and then pretty soon I had a couple of them that were shuffled the wrong way. It's like, where did I start this? How did I finish this? So it took me a little bit to get all that straightened out. But I think this book is very important in our lives because it tells us how to live for Christ. But I'm only going to be able to, like say, touch the surface of what James put in this letter. James describes how to be a true follower of Christ. James was the leader of the church of Jerusalem. James is calling us to be a person of action. How many times we don't take the action, what we need to do? We ignore it. We put it off. Say, and I'm good at that. I say, you know what? I got tomorrow. I'll do it. Then tomorrow comes. And I say, no, I'll wait till the next day. And pretty soon it's on top of me. And I say, how am I going to get this done? I should have done it a long time ago. And that's what James is telling us. Faith, action, the works. James is calling us to be a person of action. He's showing us a faith that can stand up to all our trials, the hard trials of life. Now, many of us, everyone in this room, I'm sure, has went through some hard trials in their life. I know I have. And I have failed in some of them trials. Because I didn't put my faith in God. I let faith in man. I listened to what other people said. No, I didn't go back to this word, to God's word, and say, this is what it's telling me. Do it. Do it. And that's what we don't do. We don't do it. We don't follow what God has to say on it. I want you to turn to James 1:22 here. And it says here, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Isn't that what we do? We speak, but we don't do. I'm as guilty as anyone. I say this, but I don't do it. I do not do what I should do. It says, James is saying here, do not merely just listen to the word, but do what it says. Imagine a life a faith that is not just something we think about, but something that we live each and every day. Don't we let life interfere with it? We say, I'm going to go do this. I'll get to this later. But we don't think about it each and every day. We don't let our decisions be made by what God says. We let our decision made by what the world has to say. So we need to work on that situation, on that. James is showing us how to have a life of faith that shows up in every decision that we make in life. We put our faith in God, not man. God will be the one who guides your path if you put your faith in Him. He will guide your path. He will. Because many times I've taken the wrong path. I've went this direction. He will guide you if you follow Him. And that's what we don't do in many areas of our lives. We think the world has the things, the answer, and they don't. They don't have the answer. I'm involved in racing a lot. And when I listened to Doug yesterday, he blew me away. How do you, a man, know that much about tractors and trucks? Is beyond, I can't even imagine. He says one transmission goes here and one this engine goes in this. But I was like, he knows as much about trucks and tractors as I do about racing. He's just amazing. I mean, I could. It's awesome to hear. But he loves that. If he didn't, he lived it. He's lived it his whole life. I mean, I always hear him talk about the farm. We live in the situations as James did. He lived it. He knows what it's like. And that's what we need to do. He knows what it takes to have faith in God because he's lived it. He's been in that life. It's really hard to be able to tell someone something that you never lived. You never went through. You know? And it's like it's easy to do. And like I say, I enjoyed listening to Doug talk because I had no idea how he can absorb all that in his mind. And he loved talking about it. And that's what we need to do with God. We love talking about what God wants from us, what God wants us to do. And that's what James is so good. I mean, this man spoke with authority because he lived it, because he chose the life to follow God. James did not receive Christ as a Savior until after his resurrection. He lived with Jesus. He was raised with Jesus. But he did not accept Christ until after the resurrection. You know, I can't imagine. We live with somebody for 30, 40 years. We don't know them. We chose not to pay any attention. He did. He lived the life outside of what Jesus taught. But when he got it right, he got it right. He chose the path to follow Christ. People say, you know what, I'm going to wait. I've been around people where I don't have to get involved now. I don't have to do this. James found out the true Savior. He changed and he followed and he was a disciple to the end. To the end. And that's where we need to choose. To the end. We need to go to the end for Christ. And we don't want to follow that on it. And I'd say it, this book, I mean, it's one of my favorite books because it shows me how I have failed, but God's there to pick me up and say, we can do it. We can go through this again. And as someone said, and I think it's very true, going to heaven is just like falling down and getting back up. You fall down, you get back up. You fall down, you get back up. Is it 5 times? Is it 10 times? No. You keep doing it. You keep getting back up. You don't stop. And that's what we find many of ourselves. Satan says, stop. God's not going to pay any attention to you. Look what you've done. Get yourself back up. Go again. He's there. He will guide you. He will take care of you in this situation. Because I know, because like I say, I've lived it. I've went through it. We've got to keep getting back up and going again. And that's what James is telling us. In the faith of Christ, Jesus wants to examine our hearts today. Are we truly living out our faith? Are we merely speaking with no action? He shows us how we can be double-minded. We say one thing and do another. Let's turn to James 4:8. It says here, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do you find yourself being double-minded? Say one thing and do another? I know sometimes I do. He's calling us to a faith that doesn't waver from God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Don't let the world get a hold of your heart. Satan will harden your heart. He will turn you away from God. But we must put our faith in God. We must be around God's people. We need each other. Many say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read God's word. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. When you're a child of God, you need to be around God's people. You need to be in God's house. You need to read God's word. Because that's the only way that you're going to stay on the straight and narrow path. Because if you don't study his word, Satan's going to get a hold of you, and he's going to pull you aside and said, he wants you alone. He wants you away from church. He wants you to stop reading God's word or anything, have anything to do with it. We need to stay in God's word, because I find that's the only thing that keeps me where I need to be. Because, like I say, Satan, I've had battles with Satan, and we need to be able to stay strong and true to him. And that's why I need every single one of you. I need you as much as you need me. We need each other to be able to take care and say, if there's a problem, if there's a situation in your life that you are having a hard time with, come alongside another. They may be going through the same thing. They may be fighting the same struggles you are. But let God be in the center of your life. Let God take care of it. Because you're not going to win that battle by yourself. You need to have God on your side. So let's stay in God's word. Let's stay in church. Let's stay in praying. Let's pray each and every single day. Do we do that many times? Many times we don't, do we? We get up one morning and we're saying, I got too much to do. I got to get this done. You have to. No. Take the time out to pray. I pray throughout, like say, I'm not perfect. I pray out throughout everything that I do, you know, but I'm not perfect, you know. Sometimes I let the things of the world get into my life, but I know where I need to get back to the compass of Jesus Christ on it. I got 8 pages, but I don't know if I'm going to get through them all. James is occurring to say that does, I myself fall short, but I will not stop serving God until he calls me home. I will not stop serving God until he calls me home. That's what God is asking. Just keep serving. I'm here. We'll make it through until the time comes. I may fail God, but he never fails me. James gives me guidance on dealing with trials and controlling the speech, and how to learn and to have patience. James shows us how to have a deeper faith, to step out of our comfort zone. Isn't that it? We don't like to step out of our comfort zone, do we? I hear my, God bless my wife, but I hear her all the time. I'm comfortable. I don't want to get out of this area. I want to do whatever. You get my wife home, you can't get her out. She's sitting in the chair and she's not getting out. She says, nope, I'm not going to go do this or do that. So we learned, the kids and I, that when we have her out something, we keep her out. We don't want to get her home because we're not going to go do what she wants to do, what we need to do. But that's true. We don't. We want to stay in our comfort zone. We don't want to step out. When we face suffering and pain, how do we respond to it? Let's go to James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He says, James, and this says, consider it a pure joy. Isn't that the last thing we think of? Go through a trial? I don't want to go through this. I don't think about, well, I praise God, I'm going to enjoy every second of this. I'm going to enjoy this time, whatever situation we're going through. I know I don't. I have a struggle with that. That's the last thing I think of. But God doesn't want to say the last thing. He wants us the first thing. Give him the praise. Because that trial you're going through, you never know what God's going to do for you. what choices, how he's building you up. Because, let's face it, it's anything that you do in life, no matter what it may be, it's like, say, with Evolve and Racing, you do the best you can. And the situations come up. It may look like, say, why didn't I make that race? But you find out that it builds you stronger. The next time, we'll be more prepared for it. And that's what he does with us. And it. And that's, like you say, that's what it becomes when our faith becomes stronger. He wants us to see trials not as a setback, but an opportunity to grow in Christ. But let's be real. We question God, why me? How can I handle this, God? There's answers you can't answer only through Jesus Christ. We can do it. Trials can shake our very core. They can. They want to make us give up. That's what Satan wants us, you know, go ahead and give up. God doesn't care. Yes, he does. And it. So let's keep our faith in God. But we have direct access. I've heard Kathy say this, and we do. When we go through a trial, we have direct access to God. We don't have to wait. We can call on God for help right then, right now. And that's what we need to do. Any situation, whatever it is, that's what God wants. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to receive help from him. And it. So pray to him. Do you have direct access? Don't ignore it. Because God is waiting. He's waiting. He'll give you an answer. You may not like the situation, the answer you get. But you're going to get an answer. Trust, but we have to direct access that what God wants us to do. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give you the wisdom. All we have to do is ask. How many times have we went to someone and asked for help and been turned away? I know I have. They don't want to take the time. Don't bother. I don't want to waste my time, or I have other things better to do. That hurts. But you will never be turned away by God. God will answer. God will be there. So let's go to him. He will answer. He gives us the wisdom to handle whatever comes into our lives. He will give us the peace that passeth all understanding. That is something that I strive for, peace that passes all understanding. Because the world, the understanding of things that I see in this world today, I don't understand. But God will give you the peace to understand things, to understand what's going on. He will give us that peace that passes all, but we must ask in faith. Many of us lack in faith. We don't want. When we're praying, we're actually praying, Lord, help me. But in our back of our mind, we're trying to figure out how to do it. I do that a lot. I do. So we have to ask in faith. We must ask and not doubting. I can remember circumstances in my life. I asked for something and I doubted it. I didn't get it. And I know why I didn't get it. But there's times in my life that I did not doubt. And God says, okay, I'm going to give this to you because you put your trust in me. It wasn't something of the world. It was something that I asked you from God. That was for what God wanted me to do. So let's not doubt, because we're very good at being doubtful. Let's go to James 1, 6, and 7. But let him ask in faith, never waiting, for he waveth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of God. He's calling us to faith, is alive in everything. I once heard someone say, compare faith and works to a seed. That this is something that I heard, and I thought it was very, very good about faith. It said, I compare faith and works to a seed that is planted in good soil, that seed is healthy and alive. It will eventually break through the soil and it will bear fruit. But if nothing grows, if there's no visible change in what something had changed, we know something is wrong beneath the surface. There's something wrong in your life if it is not naturally have faith and action together. Faith, that's what it is, action. We don't take action, we just speak. We take words and we just speak. We need to be able to take that action, what God wants us to do. And each one of us needs to look at our lives. Is there a change? Or are we dead beneath the surface? Let's go to James 2, 15 and 16. If your brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what do it profit it? Many times we do that, don't we? We turn away, go in peace, but I will not do nothing for your physical need. I will not help you in any way. That is a dead faith. There is no action in that. None. You've done nothing to take care of what that other person needs, and that's what God wants us to do. That need to be able to take care of whatever person, whatever situation you may be at. Amen. We speak, but no action. What good is our words if we have compassion, but we have no real action? Let's go to James 2:18. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith and have works. Shew me thou faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We need to be able to action truly show our faith. James doesn't deny that salvation is through faith. He doesn't deny that. He doesn't deny that faith is through salvation. But our works and our actions they coincide. There's no difference. Let us remember what Abraham did when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Abraham's faith was real. He trusted in God even when it didn't make sense. Abraham showed that his faith and his action aren't two separate things. They are two sides of the same coin. We should reflect Christ in everything that we do. People are watching you to see if you truly believe what you say. People that do not know Christ want to know if that hope in your life is real. Or is it just talk? They will see whether you are the real thing. Is Christ in your life? Because you have no idea who around you is watching you. They see you and they watch you. And it's like when you run into circumstance with people and you get upset with them. They're a stranger. So I'll never see that person again. You never know when God will put that person in your life. That, why did I talk to that person? I had the opportunity to show Christ, but I didn't. I showed the self myself that I shouldn't have showed. And that's where the heart is. The heart is what makes the difference in our lives on it. Hope is as real and not just talk. Let's turn to James 3. I realize there's a few things here, but we're going to keep turning until we get it right here. James 3, 5, and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. This is the one that I really wanted to get to. The tongue is a little member. That little member can destroy lives. Your words can bring healing or it can bring hope. and hope, but that same tongue, which is uncontrolled, can tear down and destroy lives. Satan wants to destroy your testimony. Words once spoken cannot be taken back. How many of us in this room? Me included. Probably the worst. Have spoken. And you want to reach out and grab them words and take them back. But you can't. It's already in. The damage has been done. You can't change that. It's been done. Amen. You too, Jason?
I wanted to share something.
Yes.
A pastor I had 10 years ago, and he used to say, keep your words soft and sweet, because one day you may have to eat them.
Amen. Amen. I've done enough of that too. Amen. Good. Amen. It's like it say, this is what I'm guilty of too. The harm is already done. Have you ever spoken harshly to your wife, to your husband, to your child, to your friend? You can never forget when you've done that. And I, for example, what I see when I do this is not so much the face, it's the eyes. When I look into my wife's eyes, when I've hurt her, it's more than you can handle. It's like my dad, he's constantly, always belittling my mom a lot of times. But she gets back at him. She tells him back, and that man does not sleep for 2 days. He eats him, but he still comes back. He still does the same things. But she gets back at him, and she lets him know what's going on. And he loves her, and it eats him when he says these things. But we need to realize the hurt that we can cause people. How we can destroy people's lives just by words. And where does it, and the thing about it is, where do them words come from? They come from the heart. Amen, Lonnie. Because what's in the heart is what's going to come out of the mouth. And this church, I've seen this church, people that have said some things. This has been a while, a long time ago. But even in church, it can happen, can't it? It can. People say things, they don't agree. But when you hear that come out of their mouth, you know they're thinking that. You know that's what they're thinking. So Satan's already got his foot in the door. He's already said, okay, now I've got it started. Let's keep the ball going rolling. You know, I mean, it's like these wildfires in the east and the west. What's it take to start a fire? It just takes a small spark. But you've created havoc throughout. It's destroyed many around. And that's what we do with people's lives. And I pray each and every day, God, give me the wisdom. Give me the foreknown to not to say that. And you end up a lot of times like doing it. But don't. Don't. Because you're going to have to live with it for a long, long time. Because like say... So it's like with my wife, she can remember 55 years ago on what she did. I mean, she's got a memory like an elephant. I mean, it's like I'll be sitting somewhere and she'll be talking and it's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, you know, and it's like, and that may have been last week, I don't know. But she's always constantly, she just got an awesome memory. She, I don't know whether it's because she holds on to some of the things that maybe shouldn't hold her, I don't know. Yeah, but she's very good about that. And pray that God will control your tongue. Pray that. Pray. In James 3:10, and this will be the last of this. We're going to get out of here early. I know some of you probably appreciate that. Looking forward to dinner, whenever, but that's it. But this, to me, is very important because it's important in my life that I need to work on. That's it. So in 3:10... says, out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not to be. They shouldn't. I hear every single day, every time, it's like I'm involved in the races, up every day I listen to people that say that they love God. But all I hear out of their mouth is they don't love God. I hear the cursing. Well, I don't have to do that. It's in God's word. But yet, they still say the things that they do. I was raised on cussing. I was raised on cursing around. I know what it's like, how it can be. So control the tongue. Because I had to fight that for many years of my life. And you know what? That was even before I was saved that I made my mind up that I was not going to cuss anymore. I was not going to do it anymore. I slipped. But I was 15 years old when that happened. And I didn't do much of the cursing. But when I got to be 17, when God got a hold of my life and I asked for him in my life, he changed that. Thank God. I can, like, say, my boys and my daughter, I don't know. Like my boy said one time, he says, I've never heard you cuss. And I am not saying that I have, been perfect. I haven't. But I know that it's not right. So you don't want to do. You want to do what is right, God says. Do it. Do it. We have God's word. Let's do it. We have his direction. Let's do it. Let him take the faith. Take the action. When we don't take the action, do we? A lot of times we say, you know what? Let somebody else do it. But you cannot help. If you're a child of God and you're following him, you can't help but do good works. You can't help it. It's in you. God is in you. Do that. It's like when I see, it's like T. She is a blessing to our lives. That little girl, like my wife says, the girls are wrapped around my finger. And it, whatever Papa wants or whatever Dad, he'll do it. And that's really probably true. And it. But a little child comes to you in faith. That little child doesn't know. But they come to you in faith. Help me, Papa. Help me. Or whatever the situation may be. That child expects your love. And that's God. What God wants from us is our love. Our faith and our action to move forward in life. And that's what he wants for this church. This church right now in these situations. We're going to be going through some tough times. So I pray that we will put our faith in God, that we'll take the action and bite the tongue and say, let's do what God wants us to do. Let's put our faith in God. Let's be there. Because we are going to go through some tough times. So I pray that we will, when we walk out this door, that we will take the faith and the action to do what God wants us to do. Amen. So that's all I have. We're going to have an invitational song here at 5:48. When we're done with this invitation, please, no one leave. I have something to say. Have your Jesus. He who bore the Lord of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory, and his word appeared away. Swing the doors open wide open. Bid him before I enjoy everyone that walks through that door in the mornings, shaking your hand. But I don't know if it's going to be the last time I'm going to shake your hand. I have no idea when you leave this morning, or me, whether I'm going to see you next Sunday. So make it right with God. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, do it now. If not now, when? Satan's telling you right now, I don't need to go forward. Let's wait till next Sunday. I promise you, you have no idea what tomorrow brings, whether next Sunday you'll be here or not. Satan's telling you to hold it off. Don't. If you have a situation in your life that you're struggling with, whatever it may be, come and make it right with God, because He wants to be right with you. He wants us to follow Him. So I pray that you make that decision in your life. If not now, you go home. Make that decision now, because you have no idea how much time you have. You have none. As I get older, I have no idea. It seems like it's getting closer and closer, as we all know here. We're all getting older and older. Let's make that decision now. Let's read the sing the second one, and we'll be dismissed here. Room for you to pleasure in the business, but for Christ and crucified, night is all the victory open. Is it enter while you may? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time to be in your house, the time to worship you and give you honor in all things, for you deserve our honor, Lord. I just pray you give us strength as we walk out these doors this morning, Lord. Help us and guide us in our lives. Help us to follow you in faith and guidance, Lord. Help us to be able to help in any way we can, any situation may be. Pray that we never turn away people when we have that opportunity for a testimony or to give back to that person, Lord. Help us and guide us in all these things, Lord. We ask in thy precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.